Welcome to the Travel Pulse Podcast, your go-to listening for everything travel. Here are your Travel Pulse hosts, Eric Bowman and Dan Callahan.
Welcome back to another episode of the Travel Pulse Podcast. My name is Dan Callahan with TravelPulse.com. And this week, guess what, everybody? He is back. It's not me flying solo this week. We got managing editor Eric Bowman of TravelPulse.com back for another week of the podcast. Welcome back from your 1 week hiatus, Eric.
Thanks, Dan. It is good to be back. Happy Travel Tuesday, everyone. Today is October 20th, and we've got quite a show for you this week. But first, I want to say hug your loved ones. I was gone last week because my grandmother passed away, and I did a road trip up to Michigan. Last-minute flights are crazy expensive right now, so we hit the road and had quite an experience with that. You can read more about that on my Bowman's Travel Beef column up on TravelPulse.com, but definitely hug your loved ones. So, coming up on the show today, we've got a great interview with CDC Dr. Christina Angelo. Looking forward to that. Insights on travel tips, what you need to know, and what advisors should be talking to their clients about as well.
And not only will you want to know from a doctor at the CDC what you should be advising clients on right now, but you can also be stepping up your education game. It's one thing that a lot of agents have been telling us that they've been doing recently with some downtime and not a lot of business coming in, unfortunately, but you can still be productive. And one place you can do that is on TravelAgentAcademy.com. Right now, throughout October into even November, there are a lot of different contests that are going on over there just for taking programs, or you become a certified specialist in destinations such as Los Cabos, Korea, Aruba, Jamaica. It sounds like I was about to start. What is that Beach Boys song? Aruba, Jamaica. You can become a specialist in so many great destinations, and you can be rewarded for it. Anything from Amazon gift cards to resort stays in Los Cabos to winning cash from Jamaica. Specialist program. You can get VIP site inspections and complimentary rooms at Atlantis in the Bahamas. I mean, so many great things just for taking courses, and you're being productive doing it. You're becoming certified specialists in these destinations, these resort properties, so many of them, so many to choose from, dozens of them on TravelAgentAcademy.com. You could sign up for a quick free account, take these different courses, get certified, hang them up on your wall, make that office just shine with your certification, showing your clients that you know what you're talking about. It's a great way to spend some of your time right now, and absolutely great contests for you to win numerous different things. So check that out at TravelAgentAcademy.com. And now coming up, Eric, what have we been, what's been going on in the past week here?
Love it, man. You're hype about education. I'm hype about what's trending in travel. And we've got a potential restart of cruise operations announcement could be coming this week. This is according to our friend, Royal Caribbean Senior Vice President of Sales, Vicky Freed, who's welcome on the podcast anytime. She was previously on. During her weekly coffee chat Facebook segment last week, she mentioned that we could have an announcement coming this week. As of right now, you know, it is the afternoon of Tuesday, October 20th. As we said, right now, there's no official announcement or anything about that. Yeah, we'll keep all our eyes and ears open for that and have it up on TravelPulse.com as soon as anything is announced. So hopefully next week's episode, Dan and I can get a little bit more in depth on that. The CDC doctor that we're speaking with on the interview today doesn't specialize in cruising, but she will offer her opinion on when she thinks cruising will restart. And speaking of the CDC, that gets into us our next trending topic. The CDC released new advice on mask wearing on public transportation, giving new guidance for passengers using public transportation, such as planes, trains, buses, rideshares, and taxis. CDC saying and advising all passengers wear masks to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Obviously, we've been saying this for a while, for several months now that we've been in this pandemic. Wearing a mask is important, especially if you are going to travel responsibly. So this guidance actually came after pressure from the airline industry, as well as in light of dramatic rises in cases in the United States. So wearing a mask, definitely key.
And I think I want to, you know, just reiterate as well, wearing a mask, but wearing a mask properly. I've seen too many people, you know, in the ride shares that I've been through, perfectly fine. Can't say I've been on trains or buses or taxis, but in planes and in the airports, just people not, you know, it's just a chin strap thing that everybody talks about. And I see it so much when I was traveling and just wearing them properly.
The diaper chin?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Just like stuff like wearing it properly. Otherwise it's not doing it. It's not working as intended. So if you're going to be wearing it, at least do it properly.
Yes, and wearing a mask is definitely key on planes. You know, don't be a naughty passenger. We've got the U.S. government actually came out and did a study, partnered up with United and Boeing, that and finding that It is extremely unlikely to get COVID-19 on a plane. This falls in line with other independent studies that we've done as well, and we've posted on Travel Pulse before. So the Department of Defense survey was conducted with United, and the risk of being exposed to COVID-19 during a flight is, quote, extremely unlikely, regardless of the flight's length. So flying is safe, people. Wear a mask. Don't be a naughty passenger. Especially don't be a naughty passenger like the lady who coughed on passengers last week and shouted, "Everyone dies," as she was being escorted off the plane for, guess what? Refusing to wear a mask. So don't be crazy. You're gonna get booted off the plane if you don't comply. So don't comply, you don't fly. Just wear a mask, people. It's not that hard.
Don't comply, you won't fly. That's actually a good campaign slogan. You probably run on that one. That's pretty good. People doing that type of stuff is actually, it is nuts. Wearing it properly is the other thing. The one thing with this study, though, that the mass public perception of it, I wouldn't say the mass, but a lot of, you know, people with their Twitter fingers that I saw reading replies to multiple different sources that were tweeting out this this story, I think a lot of it didn't go over as well planned as the people behind either the United, Boeing, Department of Defense push as they thought it was going to go. And I think this carries outside of travel, but just generally in today's society, people are a lot more cynical, read through lines of a lot of things like this. I agree with everything in the study, just so I want to be, you know, upfront about that. I do, because we've done and published so many third party, a lot more unbiased studies about how clean the air is and how filtered it is on planes and how there's little to no risk of flying and catching it that way. I agree with all that. I think that the study, the way that it's coming off, a lot of people, just today's society, if it's coming from somebody like United, Boeing, and the Department of Defense, they immediately think it's way too biased. And all the replies that you can see out there, just nuts, just people saying, you know, that the risk of heart disease is virtually non-existent according to a study by McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King. I mean, it's a joke, but they kind of, like, I see where they're coming from and why a lot of people still may be very wary of flying because of where this study is coming from. They should have done it a lot more third-party on bias from the get-go, like we have, and we've published those studies. But I think the one thing that they left out, which I have no problem flying, I've done it a few times, I've had layovers and stuff, but that's the one thing they left out. People that need to wear masks properly, number one. The study was done, was all the stats coming out of it were about people wearing masks properly for the entirety of the flight. I can say that I've seen people not wear them for the entirety of the flight, not wearing them properly throughout the flight. They didn't factor in time spent at places getting to the airport, whether you park somewhere else, you get on a shuttle, you're at a hotel somewhere, actually being in the airport for an hour or two, having layovers, all this stuff. There's so many different factors that I think people are also bringing into the equation. However, I think flying and just the overall perception that being on a plane that you're all just breathing the same oxygen and it's going to spread like wildfire, I think that's been categorically proven as no risk in that, extremely, very unlikely. But I think hopefully when they do another one of these or more come out that are done by more third-party unbiased sources would be better for people to, I guess, believe, even though I believe that this stuff is true. It's just, it doesn't look so good. And a lot of people call BS on it, unfortunately, but that's just the society we live in. So hopefully people doing those can recognize that. But I think with that, other than talking in the airline sector as well, we have been mentioning a lot about different stimulus packages. And I think there has been something rather positive to come out of a different new bill that the ASTA and U.S. Travel Association have been applauding recently. Right, Eric?
Yeah, as of right now, we don't have any finalized stimulus package yet, but there was a new hospitality jobs bill proposed that caught the attention of many in the industry. The American Society of Travel Advisors and the U.S. Travel Association both praised the new bill, ASTA saying that we strongly support the bipartisan Hospitality and Commerce Job Recovery Act, which, among other things, would create new tax incentives for convention and trade shows, expand the employee retention tax credit, and provide tax credits to Americans who spend money on travel through 2023. And the U.S. Travel Association statement said that the leisure and hospitality industry has suffered nearly 40% of all job losses nationwide, and a staggering 50% of all travel-supported jobs will be lost by the end of December if there is no federal intervention to provide aid. So right now, this is just kind of a proposal. Nothing has been finalized with stimulus. I think it was like Sunday, Nancy Pelosi came out and gave like a 48-hour deadline to try to get something done. It's been so much back and forth between both sides and both parties. So I love seeing that there's a proposal, a bit more information that we have on trying to get things done to help the hospitality sector out. We've been talking about this for a while, Dan. You know, the advisors desperately need help. So love seeing this initial step. So now let's get it done.
Get it done. That's going to be the mode of going forward here throughout 2020. Let's just get it done. Hopefully something gets done with any type of stimulus package that could help out advisors, everyday citizens, the airline industry. You know, I know we've touched on that a lot. However, what we've been seeing definitely is the rise in interest in 2021 travel. I know a lot of people are considering 2020 a wash. I don't think that's 100% true. However, a lot of people are definitely looking at 2021 to get out there, according to multiple advisors and what they're hearing from different clients. One travel advisor who of it's Becky. Oh boy, I'm going to butcher this last name. Eric, do you know how to... Lukovic?
I think it's Becky Lukovic.
Yeah. My Philly Jersey accent is going to have me mispronouncing that forever. So I apologize. But she is of Bella Travel Planning, which is a travel experts affiliate. She said that the requests she's getting are pretty all over the place, anywhere from the Hawaii and Caribbean to Colorado, Italy, even Greece. A number of her clients have actually started booking their plans with refundable arrangements or cancel for any reason insurance. And I think that's what's going to be not only just for cruising, regular travel booking. The one thing that people are going to, you know, really stick to and they're going to want to have is that assurance of cancellation or flexible rebooking cancellation policies. That's going to be key for new cruise clients, for just about any type of travel as well. How that affects the agent that puts in time to booking that, if they can cancel and they walk away with $0 in it. It's brought up the ever-going conversation about instituting some type of fees at this point, cancellation fees on the agency side. There's a lot of hot discussion around that as well. But what are you hearing from your clients out there, advisors that are listening, regarding any 2021 travel plans? Do let us know. Let us know your thoughts on that. Our email is podcast@travelpulse.com. And Eric, what are you looking forward to traveling, your travel experiences in 2021? You got any on the horizon, thinking about anything?
Yeah, definitely thinking about some stuff. Don't have anything completely set in stone. My birthday is around President's Day, so I'm maybe trying to do a little, you know, weekend getaway. Big fan of weekend getaways. We've talked about many times on the podcast here. Other than that, you know, I'm really looking forward to getting back on a cruise, man. I know it may not happen in 2020 here, so I'm putting my focus on 2021 and trying to get on a cruise maybe in the springtime. Or the summer is my, you know, for as far as personal travel getaways, not non-work associated vacations, if you will. So that's where I'm focusing on, is trying to get in a cruise, maybe hit the some Caribbean islands that I have yet to visit. And that would be nice. And then I'm looking forward to getting to Hawaii at some point. I thought I was going to try to get down there. I mean, that was my like number one priority for 2020 travel. And then the pandemic hit and Hawaii kept pushing back. And now they are open for tourism. They've got a lot of different stuff going on. It's just that the timing isn't right for me as of October 20th right now. That might change, you know, come December when I look to book vacations and stuff. But that's my goal. That's my hope. What about you, Dan? Where are you wanting to go?
Well, you know, I think we, wife and I have been talking about places that we can take the dogs, dog-friendly hotels, I should say, anywhere throughout the U.S., maybe long road trip, maybe go out west somewhere. But we also inherited one of her family's boats. It's a 16-foot boat. So I'm just going to become, it's my version of cruising. So if any advisors out there in the Philadelphia area want to sell your clients on a luxurious 16-foot boat cruise up and down the Delaware River, you know, we can keep the fees at a minimum. They're gonna have to chip in for gas. I mean, that's just honestly what it's gonna have to be. But this is gonna be my version of cruising, and that's what I'm gonna be doing in 2021. We're gonna fix this boat up and get out on a river somewhere. So definitely looking forward to that, and maybe some road tripping. So that's where we're at this point.
That's awesome, Dan. That sounds like a lot of fun. If you have 2021 travel plans that you'd love to share with us, we'd love to hear it from you. Email is podcast@travelpulse.com. And if you've been enjoying listening to the show, we'd love for feedback from you at the email. We'd love for you to leave a review wherever you listen, whether that's Apple, Spotify, Google, all that good stuff.
Speaking of reviews, Eric, we got a recent one here this month from Liddy Sue, and she entitled it 5 stars, A TA's Best Friend. I find the information shared by Eric, Dan, and their guests to be invaluable. It helps me stay in the know with current travel trends and restrictions. Oftentimes, I will finish listening to their podcast, turn around, and do a live video of my own. Wow, that's actually really good. That's a really neat way to do that, because we go through a lot of news, a little bit of opinions here and there, but a lot of things you need to know about. So she continued saying, my clients love when I do that. It helps them to know I care about their safety as well as their continued desires to travel. I couldn't do that without the knowledge I gained from these guys at Travel Pulse. Keep up the great work. So thank you, Lady Sue, for leaving us that review. Everybody else out there, leave us the review on iTunes, Spotify, FaceSpace, MyBook, wherever you listen to this. It'd be greatly appreciated. Love to hear when you guys are using this information in valuable ways, like going live on videos for your clients. So that's awesome.
And now joining us on the Travel Pulse podcast is CDC Dr. Christina Angelo. Christina, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's my pleasure.
Absolutely. So could you just tell our listeners a little bit about your background, how long you've been working with the CDC and your insight into the travel world?
Absolutely. So I am an infectious disease practitioner, and I've been at CDC now for about 5.5 years, and I currently work in the Traveler's Health Branch in CDC as a medical epidemiologist, basically helping people stay safe and healthy while they're traveling internationally.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I did not know that there was a specific branch of the CDC like that. And you have actually contributed to some content on our website on Travel Pulse as well. So this is actually really great. And looking forward to all the information here that we can give out to our listeners. And I think listeners, being that their majority are travel advisors, they want to know just right off the top here, probably one of the top questions they may have, what should they be telling their clients about traveling safety as of now, what they should be telling them?
Absolutely. I think that the main thing that travel advisors should be telling their clients is that travel increases their chance of getting and spreading COVID-19. That doesn't matter how you're traveling or when you're traveling, but basically the only thing you can really do to prevent getting COVID-19 and spreading it to others is to stay home. You can get COVID-19 before, during, or after travel. You may feel well and not even have any symptoms and still be able to spread it to others. And then the other concern would be if you and your travel companions decide to travel, spreading it to other vulnerable people, such as people in your family, friends, or your community that may have a higher susceptibility to getting severe disease. We do, however, I will mention that if you do travel, we do have a series of questions to ask yourself about if you're doing the best you can to protect yourself and others.
Do you think there's any one particular aspect of travel, be that hotels, planes, cruise ships, tour buses, et cetera, that would be of greater risk for travelers? Because obviously some people do feel comfortable traveling right now. And we've seen there's a lot of pent up demand too. So I'm just curious if there's one aspect of travel that you would think is of greater risk than others.
Yeah, I think traveling traveling alone in a car is probably a relatively safe way of traveling. However, I will caveat that by saying that you do have to usually stop to get gas, and there is interaction with other people as you're traveling even shortish distances, even if you're traveling alone. But in general, I don't think we really can differentiate between different types of travel and their risks. There's just not enough information available right now for us to be able to do that. But I think that the most you can maximize your solitude, the better.
Gotcha. And I think one of the aspects of travel that has obviously come under the most scrutiny and topics of discussion has been cruising. I wouldn't think there'd be any argument there. And this NOAA sail order, which has been a hot topic of discussion lately as well, it is scheduled to end on October 31st here in just a couple of weeks. Do you have any updates or insight there? Do you think that will be extended again? Or do you have any other thoughts on that part of the industry?
Yeah, so unfortunately, my branch and my piece of what I do with the coronavirus public health work that CDC does not involve the cruise ship order. The cruise ship order is done by a different team, so I don't have eyes on the cruise ship guidance and what is to come.
Okay, just your personal opinion. Do you think they should be allowed to sail again at all now that they have new protocols in place? Or
in general, cruise ship travel is in aggregation with other people, which is not ideal for transmission of coronavirus, as we know and as we saw when cruises were sailing the world back in March and April. So I think that it's prudent that if there are any changes going forward with regards to the cruise industry, that we're very conservative about when we actually allow cruises to begin again.
So the next question I would have would be about rapid testing. That's something that Eric and I have talked a lot about, being that is like the key to a whole really big travel rebound, whether they're doing it at airports or any other parts of travel. We've seen some airports set up on-site testing. Do you think rapid testing, if it's available to different airports, or the more and more it becomes available, that it should be readily used throughout the industry? And do you think that would help for a whole rebound throughout travel?
So the one thing that I will say about this is that we are still in the infancy of knowing the dependability and the sensitivity of these tests and how much they could and should be used in a screening type setting, which is essentially what we're discussing using them for in the context of your question. So I would say the verdict is still out on what that will actually look like if, in fact, it ever does get implemented. There's still a lot of uncertainty surrounding the tests and how that would be done.
In regards to testing, we've seen some Caribbean destinations set up COVID testing and the need to have it before you arrive, before passengers arrive. One destination that hasn't is Mexico, but we're still seeing a lot of people travel to Mexico and Caribbean, obviously not as much in previous years, but those are some destinations that Americans can travel right now. So what do you think travelers considering these destinations should look out for? Any tips or advice that you would want them to know?
Yeah, so there's a series of questions that CDC has that we like all travelers to consider before embarking on any sort of travel. The first of which is COVID spreading in the destination? Intuitively, if there are more cases where you're going, the more likely you are to get infected during travel, spread virus to others, whether during travel or after return. The second question is do you live with someone or are you traveling with someone who is more likely to get very ill from coronavirus or COVID-19. If you get infected while traveling, you can spread the virus to your loved ones when you return, even if you're completely asymptomatic and don't have symptoms. And then similarly, are you more likely to get very ill from COVID-19? Basically, anyone can get very ill, but we do know that older adults and people of any age with certain underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness. And then lastly, does the destination have those requirements and restrictions? So like you said, some countries have entry or exit requirements that you need to know about with regards to testing. Some require a negative test before you even get on the airplane, for example. Local, state, and territorial governments may have separate requirements. So even if you're not traveling internationally and traveling domestically, there may be requirements from going state to state, such as people wearing masks or requiring those people who have recently traveled to stay home for up to 14 days, for example. We recommend checking the state and local public health websites for information, or if you're going internationally, to check the country's Foreign Office of Affairs Health. Another great resource is always the U.S. Department of State Bureau of Consular Affairs. They have country information pages and details about the entry requirements and restrictions for COVID-19.
Yeah, and a lot of that information is crucial for advisors to have because they're the ones out there advising their clients. That's why a lot of people use advisors to have that information. So I know that our team here at Travel Pulse takes a lot of those sources from all those different ones that you listed there, and we do wrap-ups, especially for state-to-state domestically, because it changes so much from state-to-state, and we're constantly updating information on that as well, just crucial to have. And I know you said here in the beginning you were focusing a lot on international travel. A lot of the international travel we've talked about and that we've covered recently over the past few months, at least, has really dealt primarily with the Caribbean and Mexico. And it hasn't, It hasn't had a lot of European and Asian travel factored into it, obviously, because that is pretty much non-existent at this point for Americans.
Yeah.
For the large part, I know there are some other places Americans can go, kind of like a Croatia, places like that, where there's, you know, restrictions aren't like other parts of the world, but either way, it's pretty much non-existent at this point. Is there anything that you think that would need to happen for this to open back up for American travelers, or do you have any other thoughts or, you know, advice on that as far as, you know, what would kind of have to happen or what, you know, precautions people should take when it does?
Yeah, and I think that similarly, this is similar to sort of the response that I had to the next question. I think it really depends first and foremost on what's happening at that destination. And then in addition, your individual ability to protect yourself, and then secondarily, your ability to protect others. We do know that there are a few things that you can do to decrease risk of transmission, such as wearing a mask, keeping your nose and mouth covered, staying at least 6 feet away from anyone who are not people from your household, washing your hands often, avoiding contact with sick people, and avoiding touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. I think one thing that this pandemic has definitely done is increased all of our awareness about how much we involuntarily touch our faces throughout the day. With regards to travel on a larger scale, I think it's going to be very dependent upon what's actually happening in those destinations. And given the fluctuations in case counts, as you mentioned, Europe and or the United States or Asia, you know, it's very up and down. And so in any given moment or time period, those case counts and the issues that are happening on the ground at that destination are likely to change.
I actually had a quick follow-up to that as well. I was just thinking as you were responding to the question, do you think like questions like that and advice you're giving for travelers about, you know, whether they think they would be a higher risk for getting highly ill or sick or contracting coronavirus or COVID-19, do you think these are types of questions that advisors should be asking their clients prior to like booking them on stuff? Because I know advisors right now just they want to bring in as much business as possible, and a lot of people are staying very safe about things, making sure that where people are going is right for them. Obviously, that's a part of the whole process of booking people. Do you think that there's any, you know, questions they should add to their regular, you know, qualifying of a client of theirs that in regards to all of this that's been happening, is there anything they should change really in that whole process of theirs?
Yeah, I would say two things. The first being that the best way for travel advisors to ensure that people are getting accurate information is to ensure that they're promoting a pre-travel health visit with a healthcare provider prior to those people going on whatever travels they're about to embark on. So if the travel advisors can actually promote everyone going to a pre-travel visit, and that's not just for the reason of COVID-19, that's also for the reason of vaccination for other diseases, ensuring that people are aware of the situation in the country, and also ensuring that they have the best protective information available to them if they do decide to go regardless. So the first thing I would say would be the recommendation for travel advisors to have all of their passengers that they are, or and their clients, go to a medical professional to get evaluated and to have a pre-travel health visit. The second thing I will say is that we do have a website available at cdc.gov called Know Your Travel Risk. And it does go through some of the smaller things with regards to travel in looking at transportation, looking at individual risk factors that could help. But again, this webpage does not substitute for good medical advice and actually speaking to a practitioner.
So domestic travel has obviously been a focal point for many Americans this year who have felt comfortable traveling, road trips, as you mentioned, kind of being bigger, definitely bigger than years past. But one destination that you can't road trip to, and that in particular has taken its time to allowing tourism to reopen, is Hawaii. So I'm curious, what are your thoughts about Hawaii's approach to reopening tourism? They just announced, it was October 15th last week, that they are reopening the island up to tourism. Just your general thoughts on their approach to that, as well as just general domestic travel right now.
Yeah, so I'm actually not too familiar with what is going on the ground in Hawaii. As I mentioned, most of what I do is internationally focused. So I'm not sure what is going on the ground in Hawaii. I would say that the discretion of the local and state health departments is the best way for a traveler to know what is the best course of action to take with regards to traveling to that destination, whether it be Hawaii, a domestic destination, or an international destination.
Gotcha. And I think one of the other things on top of not only Hawaii, I think Hawaii has a lot of, especially this time of year, a lot of holiday travel coming up. We're going to be seeing a lot of different holiday travel. And I know people have been talking about, you know, their Thanksgiving plans or Christmas plans, whatever, New Year's plans, all this different stuff is factoring in there. Is there any just general travel tips or things that you would want travelers or travel advisors out there booking holiday travel trips to know about that, with the holiday travel season being a little bit different than usual this year?
Yeah, and I think that circles back to kind of the initial question that we were all talking about, is that really, to be honest, the best thing that people can do is to stay home. I know that it's very difficult to be away from loved ones, especially during the holidays, but especially considering during the holidays, you're seeing people in your family from different generations and likely a constellation of different types of health issues and ages. The best thing actually to do is to stay home and to not travel.
Any additional advice you'd want to pass on for anyone that is actually considering travel? I know you mentioned stay home, but as we've seen, some people are not doing that. Any final wisdom you would like to share?
Yeah, and I think that this kind of circles back to those four questions that I talked about. Basically, is COVID spreading where you're going? Do you live with someone who's more likely to get ill? Are you more likely to get ill? And then what the requirements and restrictions are for travelers. And that's in concert with the fact that you should always be doing the ultimate steps that you can to protect yourselves and others, which kind of reminds us about the mask wearing, staying 6 feet away, washing your hands, avoiding contact with sick people, and avoiding touching your eyes, nose, and mouth.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you again. I think that covers just about all of our questions here. We touched on a lot of different sectors of the industry here and a lot of good information. Is there any other places you would strongly advise for our travel advisor listeners to check out, like on a certain specific area of the website? Would you be able to plug that website one more time with the page you said that, how that all information on there for travel specifics?
Yeah, so it's on the CDC.gov website, and it's called Know Your Risk, and it's part of the coronavirus web pages. The other thing that I will say is that as of yesterday, CDC put out mask recommendations, where we're strongly recommending masks are worn by all passengers on and operators of public transportation conveyances to help prevent the spread of the virus that causes COVID-19. So these types of conveyances would be anything from buses to trains, airplanes to everything. So we are strongly recommending that masks are worn by all passengers and operators.
Definitely mask up. Totally agree with that.
I've seen some people.
Yes, mask up indeed. So thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Dr. Angelo. We really appreciate it. Thanks to everyone for listening, and have a great week.